Hello again, Ray Yurt with a few more thoughts on the Word of God. In this series of addresses, I'm answering the question, what is the Bible all about? In the first talk, I mentioned some general things that Scripture deals with. And in the second talk, I mentioned something very specific that is contained in the Scriptures. When Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, we're told in Luke 24 and verse 45 that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And in doing that, he started at the book of Genesis, he started at the law, as the first five books are called, and in all the Scriptures, he revealed to them the things concerning himself. Jesus Christ is the central character in the Bible. Every book of the Bible has something to teach us about Jesus Christ. In completing this little series of talks, I want to take the first little section of the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible, what is called the Law, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible which were written by Moses, and I want to give a brief talk on each of those books and mention some things that they contain. That will help us, I believe, to know what the Bible is all about. And in this very first book, Jesus Christ appears. He appears in the very first chapter of Genesis, not being mentioned by name, but in verse 26 of the first chapter, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image." So God the Father was talking to God the Son and God the Spirit. Jesus Christ was there. He was involved in the creation. But in the third chapter of Genesis, you read about the fall of man. You read about Satan coming and deceiving Eve and causing her to lead Adam into sin. And in pronouncing judgment on them, God said this to Satan, and it's chapter 3 and verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman," this woman whom you've come to deceive. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." And when we come into the New Testament, we find that the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was the seed of the woman, and that's how he's spoken of in the New Testament. God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what the New Testament says. He would bruise the serpent's head, and in doing it, he would suffer. His heel would be bruised. So that is a prophecy made by God himself, right in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, a prophecy and a promise concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. Every book in the Bible has something to teach us about Jesus Christ. The word Genesis is from a Greek word meaning beginning, and it's in this book that we see the beginning of so many things. The beginning of the material universe, the beginning of animal species, the beginning of the human race. We see the beginning of sin, the beginning of the work of redemption, the beginning of family life, the beginning of the nations, the beginning of languages. And we're taken right through to the beginning of the Jewish nation. The book of Genesis covers 2,000 years of the world's most ancient times and somewhere around 300 years of the beginnings of the Hebrew race. I want to read to you the first five verses of the Bible. So Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. What a marvelous way for the Word of God to begin. That very first verse, such a short verse, but so many thoughts contained in it, so many thoughts flowing from it. In the beginning, God. That denies atheism. There is a God. It denies pantheism. God was before all things. There's no deity in things. God created them. It denies polytheism. There is only one God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It denies evolution. God created. By implication, these opening verses deny materialism, deny fatalism. God is in control. These are marvelous opening verses to the Word of God. The first five books are a tremendous unity. It's obvious when you read them that one book leads into the next, and you're taken through the creation, then leading down to the initial growth of population, then the flood in Noah's day, then repopulation, then the division into nations, and the establishment of the Jewish nation, the deliverance of the Jews from their captivity in Egypt, and their journey through the wilderness, and the establishing of the law, and the giving of a land to them. It's a continuous story, and it's obvious that they come from the one author. Things that are recorded in Genesis happened before Moses was born, but obviously records were left. But what we're told is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and Moses was led by the Lord to put the records together and then to record the things of his own day, and so to give us these first five books, of which Genesis is the beginning. Genesis is written, as is the rest of Scripture, in a way that mathematicians can calculate that the world has not been here for millions and millions of years, but rather just thousands of years. And you say, well, how could this be? You see, the book of Genesis is written in prose, not poetry, because it's not just a mythical tale, it's straightforward fact. It's quite simple when you think of it. God created man. He made Adam. And the day after Adam had been made, he was made as an adult. The day after he was made, he could have been presented to a doctor, and a doctor might have examined him and said, "This man is 40 years old, or whatever age he would have set on him. But Adam would have only been one day old, created the day before. God created the earth and the universe as if it had been here for millions of years. And scientists, in examining it, conclude from human science, which scripture calls science falsely so called, they conclude that it's millions of years old and that it gradually evolved. And of course that makes no sense, because they say that it evolved out of nothing, and nothing can come out of nothing. Only God can create. The book of Genesis is an amazing book, and it brings us through to the first mention of so many things. The first mention of marriage, the first mention of Satan, the first mention of judgment, the first mention of clothing, the first mention of birth, of murder, of polygamy, of musical instruments, of metalwork, of serial killing, of natural death. So much contained in this first book of the Bible. It brings before us so many famous characters. Adam, Enoch, Methuselah, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when you come to a character like Abraham, you have the gospel presented to us. The essential message which the Bible brings to you and to me. Abraham discovered that righteousness came from placing your faith in God. As the New Testament tells us, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is the essence of the gospel. We're not saved by our works, but we're saved by believing the truth that God has presented to us in Jesus Christ. By believing Jesus Christ, by believing that he died for our sins, and that we can have our sins forgiven by placing our faith in him and following him. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's one of the major characters who appears in the book of Genesis. He was, of course, the father of the Hebrew nation. He was the father of many nations. And he's the father of the faithful. What a marvelous beginning to the Bible we have in the book of Genesis. May the Lord enlighten our minds as to what the Bible is all about. May the Lord bless you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.